right? Let's go to the new verse of Scripture. This is Isaiah 7:14. Look over there. This is a good verse for people who don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. By the way, if Jesus Christ was not virgin born, then He could not be our Savior. His blood was God's blood. Joseph did not touch Mary. She was a virgin. And this was a sign to the Jews and to all the world that Jesus Christ, this had never happened before, and it never has happened since. Never has. Even artificial insemination is the lady would be tampered with. Hello? You follow? Mary was not touched. Who touched her was God. Amen. The seed in her was of the Holy Ghost of God. And says this is the proof of it. Look at 7:14, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. And what did the Jews require? A sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but the Jews required a sign. And Jesus is the sign man. Jesus, everywhere He went, He did all kinds of miracles. We're going to consider that during the preaching hour today. Behold, a virgin. Now the Revised Standard Version, the reverse version, some call it. The liberal version of Scripture by the National and World Council of Churches, Revised Standard Version, which my old Methodist church used. My dad, bless his heart, he wasn't even saved, and he said, "I like the King James, Jack." He said, "It's just beautiful." And he wasn't even saved, had more sense than some of these liberals, some of these ministers who've been to seminary, and they've done just as good to go into the cemetery than the seminary. They didn't learn anything about God and His Bible. They learned what was wrong, what they thought was wrong with the Bible. When they meet God, they'll find out there's nothing wrong with the Bible. A whole lot wrong with them. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. They say a young maid. And I'm told in the Hebrew, by those who know the Hebrew, that there's absolutely no reason for them to have changed that. The word there is virgin, not a young maid. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's a miracle, isn't it? Virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and what shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So that means God with us. So Jesus is God, His very name, Emmanuel. Another place it's Emmanuel. Here, Emmanuel. It means God with us. So Jesus claimed to be God. By the way, they always wanted to stone Jesus, kill Jesus. John 10, many, many, many places in the Bible, because He claimed to be God. There are some foolish people say, "Well, Jesus never claimed to be God." He did claim to be God. He said, "I and my Father are one." And they didn't even like Him calling God His Father. They did not even want. See, we're in a different society. We don't have the picture here, the full import of the whole thing. Jesus even calling God His Father, they hated that. And then Jesus, over and over again, He said, "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life." Well, the "I am" was Moses. Moses said, "Who should I say sent me when I go down to the people?" He said, "You tell them, 'I am that I am hath sent you.'" And here Jesus comes along and said, "I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread from heaven. I am the man. I am He that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I am the resurrection and the life." Oh, they hated Him. Kill Him. He's saying, He's claiming to be the "I am" that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Well, hallelujah, He was the one. Amen. He's the Creator. But they hated that. They didn't like that. All right. So we get this verse. How many would try to memorize it for next week? I thought it was a good group this time. How many, okay? It's important for you to know the address. It'll be important for you when you get up against people who don't believe the Bible. And by the way, whenever you find people don't believe the Bible, just keep quoting Bible at them. It's the power of the Word. It's not your smart, intelligent, knowing how to deal with them. Just give them Bible. If they won't listen, just give them Bible. Amen. And they throw you out, then walk. Amen. I had one fellow, boy, he threw his cigar down and took my track and crumbled it up and threw it down and stomped down and said, "Get out of here! I don't want anything." Boy, you know what I did? I just walked down out. That's what I did. Good idea. You might have a gun around the corner. This was in South Carolina, Roper Mountain Road. And as I was going, I just like the apostles, "I'm dusting my foot off to you. I don't need you. I don't need to worry about you." Went to the next house and they received me gladly. Amen. Just keep going. And don't cast your pearls before swine. Say, would anybody treat a nice fellow like you like that? They treated Jesus that way, and they'll treat you that way. You say, well, I couldn't take that kind of treatment. You'll never be a good Christian. You know, you can be one, but you won't be a good one. One fellow said, you may be saved, but you ain't no Christian. Well, that's poor English. A Christian was one who had the stigma of Christ. You may be saved, but as a Christian, they were first named Christians in Antioch. It was in derision. And Sammy Allen said that. And he had, boy, he's some country. And that's how he said it, too. You ain't no Christian. Some of y'all have heard of Sammy Allen. He's some preacher, isn't he? They're not having a flip education. He got in this book, though. God got in him, and then he got in this book. And that's the way to get taught, amen, if you don't go on to school. I'm not against school, by the way. We're going two trips to different schools. I'm for training, especially for real young ministers. Some people get saved a little later in life or don't have the advantage of going on to school. But I think, generally speaking, by the way, they even had a school of the prophets. And Elisha and the others, Elijah, remember, as he went down there over Jordan, had a school of the prophets. And so even Paul, didn't he teach in the school of Tyrannus? And so Paul sure was for learning. And he counted all his worldly learning, but done for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So we believe in it, but I tell you, you better be God taught. You better be taught by the Lord. You better get in the Word. And by the way, if you haven't been able to go to Bible school, some of you in your call to preach, you better just get in the book. Really get in the Word as preparation. Maybe God will lead you in the future, maybe not. All right, we need to get to something that's a very touchy, I would say, a little touchy subject. But I'm glad. How many of you try to memorize it next week? Some of you raised your hand. Good number. Oh, man, that's better. You have a little more time to think. All right. And just hide the Word in your heart that you might not sin against God. Amen? Thy Word have I hid. We're not to hide much. We're to hide the Word. Hide the Word. And then when it's needed, it'll come out. I might not sin against thee. All right. The verse, I believe, let's see here. All right, the right portion of Scripture. Isaiah 45:7. I believe I wrote it down here. Isaiah 45:7. Yes. By the way, I think the things that we hear in religious circles that are not right and that are taught, they're taught in the wrong way. Like, for instance, say someone was on the radio, I haven't heard anybody recently, trying to run down or disprove the virgin birth. But there are many things in the Christian circles that are not properly taught. And this fellow may be your friend, but he's out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I won't name him because I don't think it's absolutely necessary, and I don't want to make you my enemy unnecessarily. But a pretty well-known radio broadcaster who I like to listen to. He sounds like old Dr. Bob Sr. He's from Alabama or somewhere down in there, I think. And I hear him on the radio. He's a Pentecostal. And so I don't agree with him on a lot of things. But he taught something this last week that is totally unscriptural. It is just totally unscriptural. And I was just like this. I thought to myself, and you, I know the Bible better than that. I know he knows the Bible better than that. He has just, for some reason, I don't know, because of his one fit. Listen, we are never to cram the Bible into our theology. We're to fit what we believe into what God says. We need to be very cautious about it. I remember when I was a young Christian, like some of you are. Boy, I thought I got a corner on truth. Oh, no one's ever seen that like that before. That the Lord showed that to me, and no one's ever seen that. Have you ever been like that? Oh, I was like that in my early experience. I just knew God was speaking to me in a special way. And then I read later, years and years later, there's nothing new under the sun. Listen, if any men of God who have been filled with God's precious Holy Spirit, just like you are saved and God's Holy Spirit lives in you, that great teacher would teach others the same thing he'd teach you, wouldn't he? And they studied 8, 10, 15, 16 hours a day. I read this last week. I was over at Sam's, and I read. I just picked up the little Sam Walton. He's made billions, not millions, but billions of dollars, richest man in America. And how he had one little store, I guess, and he went to JCPenney's, and he learned from JCPenney. Then he went over there and started his own store, and that's Walmart and Sam's, what they call it, Club. And I was over there, I was reading the book, and how he worked 16 hours a day. Well, that's how he, quite a few hours, I don't need six to sleep, right? After calculating, you know? And so you work 16 hours a day, and just get some good policies, and maybe you'll be that rich. Well, no, most of you don't need to be that rich because you wouldn't serve God if you're that rich. Amen. Most people can't handle money. 1 million would ruin you. You wouldn't need a billion. A million would ruin you. And 100,000 would plumb ruin most people. Amen. They think they're God all of a sudden and wouldn't need God. But anyhow, all that work. But these men labored and studied the Scriptures. And so there's nothing new under the sun. If you think there's something, I remember I wrote my track on speaking in tongues. And then I read Dr. John Rice's. And I was amazed that the Lord spoke to him as well as he did me, you know. Don't get me wrong, not exactly. He didn't have every little thing exactly. But I had never before heard my position on tongues recorded or even preached. And I'm against supernatural tongues. I'm for the tongues of Corinth. But anyhow, I was amazed that the Lord spoke to John Rice even as far as he did. And God does that. Amen. You're saved. He speaks to others. And same Holy Spirit, same teacher. But look at this verse. It's very difficult now. And if you're not, you may miss it. Look at verse 7. This is Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. What's that word of prayer? Father, now lead us and bless us. Help us, Lord, to portray this properly, we pray, that we might be edified and strengthened and blessed and helped. Meet the need now of every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we get into the other thoughts, let me mention, it says, I create evil. It does not say God creates sin. And if you look that up in the Strong's Concordance, God does not create sin. The devil's the author of sin. God is the creator of Lucifer, son of the morning, who was an archangel, and he said, I will exalt the devil. Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. I will dwell in the sides of the north. What he was saying, God's not going to tell me what to do anymore. I'm going to be the like the Almighty. He had eye problems. I, you see, pride. And he fell and he was cast out of heaven. And so the devil is the author of sin. You say, well, how do you know that? The Bible tells me so. That's how we know. But God does create evil. And that evil there means calamities, afflictions, adversities, wretchedness, sorrow, but not sin. Never sin. God does not create sin. God creates sorrows. God creates calamities. God creates afflictions. You cannot read the Old Testament and read about the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel and not see that because when they served the Lord, God blessed them. When they went and started worshiping idols, God raised up other nations to cause them all kinds of trouble. Because why? God said, you're not to worship idols, and if you do, you're going to have pestilence, you're going to have sorrow, you're going to have drought, you're not going to have water, you're going to have a famine in the land. He said, your enemies are going to come against you. You better do what I tell you, or I'm going to send some problems your way. Well, this radio broadcaster said this. Now, see, we've got this prosperity preaching today. Everybody's supposed to be rich, but Jesus wasn't. And he was God. Everybody's supposed to be rich and have all their bills paid and extra money all the time. But Peter and John said, silver and gold have I not. And Peter was the spokesman of the 12. If anyone should have had some money, it ought to have been the head kingpin. The big mouth. The leader. Amen? Why, Jesus said, feed this crowd. And they said, oh, what's this little bit of bread here? And what are these among so many? Jesus said, just tell them all to sit down and just start doing it. And as they broke the bread, it multiplied and multiplied. They didn't even have enough money to go and feed 5,000 people. There's all kinds of people today that have enough money to feed 5,000 people. That's quite a crowd. But there's all kinds of people. There's people in Killeen. They can feed 5,000, nothing flat. Amen? Well, the same thing Jesus fed them with. But Jesus did it miraculously. But the disciples didn't have enough in the bag. They lived off the alms of the people. There's these preachers today that say everybody ought to have a Mercedes-Benz and a BMW in their backyard if they're serving God. Now, that's exactly what they're preaching. If you're right with God, they're preaching Old Testament. By the way, God prospered many of the Old Testament men.
That's right. He prospered Abraham. He prospered Jacob in a wonderful way. Prospered him. And he prospered different ones. But you look at the New Testament. Whew, they were a poor crowd, man. They were like Jesus. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. By the way, then we go another step further. God is good, isn't he? I've heard this on the radio so much. Boy, just listen to my broadcast. My boy, David, he's kind of working on my radio broadcast. Finally, after all this time, we might get it done before I'm 50. I've asked the Lord to allow me to be on the radio somewhere. So I got a whole year or so, year and a half. So, but he did it over the phone to me last night. He worked on it yesterday and got it all lined up. Some beautiful music. It might really be nice. He's going to introduce me. It might get worked out really good. But I was listening to this radio broadcaster. And here's the thing. If you believe that God is good, I've heard some of these broadcasts say, listen to my program, and I know it'll be a blessing to you. It sure might not be. I don't want all my broadcasts to be a blessing to everybody. I want to make them mad, some of them. Because they're not saved. They're full of filthy sin. They're shacking up with some girl or guy. They're living with people. I don't want my broadcast to bless everybody, make them feel good. Boy, I just want God to do what He wants through it. That's all. Bless those that need a blessing and are discouraged. Those that are pompous and think they're on top of the world, I want them knocked down a little bit. Amen. Even if they're saved, they're on their way to heaven. And then those that are sick, that there's hope in Christ. Amen. And through prayer, God's able. And maybe they'll call for the elders to pray over them, anoint them with oil. And if it's God's will, they get up. Amen. I want to encourage the sick. Right? I want those that are lost and in sin to feel real dirty and miserable and sick of themselves. Oh, listen to this broadcast. I know it'll be a blessing to you. That's not even right. Huh? Just pray that God's Word will do what God wants done in your heart. That's what I want done. Oh, but here's what we got. We got prosperity and praise. Everybody's supposed to be rich. Well, we can't all be rich. Someone's got to serve someone else. We can't all be the boss. We wouldn't need any servants. Amen? No. The Bible says we're to be a servant. Paul said, I'm a bondslave of Jesus Christ. A servant. That's what it meant, a bondslave. So here we got another thing. Everybody's supposed to be well. Because God does heal people. Now, He does. Jesus healed all kinds of people. Well, Brother Darrell, I think you need to throw your crutch away. I think you need to sprint all the way from here to Fort Hood. And I'll tell you what, your foot, if you did, and you did like some faith healer, you sprint all the way to Fort Hood, you might never walk on that thing again like you ought to. And Brother Moore back here, he's teaching our kid. He's got this thing, and he's had it on there. Brother Darrell had one of these on his neck before. These fellows are hard neck, you know, beef stiff neck. No. Anyhow, it says, he that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remnant. That's not Brother Darrell, Brother Moore. That's bad people. Okay, but anyhow, here you go around. Well, I think Brother Moore, I just throw that thing. He used to, after 1 week, go to a healing meeting, throw that thing away, and then his neck would be ruined for all his life. He said even to take it off to shave, he said he could feel that the pressure was down on that. He didn't need to be down on that. Even just to shave. Which they kind of halfway gave permission to do that. While his neck was healing, he had surgery done. Now, it is generally God's will for people to be well. We couldn't serve God very well if we were all sick all the time. And young people, it's generally God's will when you're younger to not have as many aches and pains. But we're all going to have to die one day, right? And so it kind of stands to reason that I just, when I get around, I'm just not quite in shape like these three fellows like that. See, I wasn't your age one time, man. I was going to take this pulp in here and throw it through the window, I mean, this thing's oak, man. I'm not going to throw this thing together. It takes two or three guys. But when I was in the Navy, I worked out with weights and I swam every day and I weighed about 170 pounds. I mean, I just felt like I just tear the door and just, But I'm almost 50 now. And I just don't feel that way anymore, Brother John. You're not either if you get my age. But you're always supposed to feel 22, 25 years old, aren't you? Well, if you're a Christian, you're right with God. You ought to be prosperous, have all kinds of money. Cadillac, Rolls Royce. Only one trouble. What this fellow said on the radio, he said, if God heal sickness, then surely God would not work against Himself and send sickness. He said, if this is exactly what he said now. I'm almost quoting this verbatim. He said, if God If the man of God can pray and be right with God so the tornadoes would not hit them, then God doesn't send tornadoes because God would be working against himself. This is a knowledgeable fellow. He is knowledgeable in the Bible. You know what his problem is? He's hanging around the wrong crowd all the time. He's hanging around the prosperity crowd. Now, God is good to those that are good to God. And God is even good to some that are not good to God. But God is pretty rough on some that know God, who aren't right with God. And God will send anything he wants your way, because God is God. And God does send famines. And by the way, this is the problem. See, Pastor Magnuson brought this. I thought if I go on the radio, I was thinking yesterday, the first thing I ought to teach about is the doctrine of God. Pastor Magnuson, a friend of mine, I wrote up a doctrinal statement. I've said this before for our regular people, but not our visitors. And I wrote up a doctrinal statement for a little pastor's fellowship up in New York. We started, and we had many, many pastors come. There was no pastor's fellowship. Fundamental, independent, sin-hating, Christ-exalting, Bible-believing pastors up there. So I started one. And I wrote the statement up, and I had, you know, Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, the blood atonement, salvation by grace through faith. First of all, I started out with the Bible is the Word of God, every word of it, and on about, what we believed about the charismatic movement and this and that, everything, you know. And Pastor Magnuson read it, and I was real proud of it. I had it printed up, and he said, "You forgot the most important doctrine." Thank you. It was real plain, boy, Brother Magnuson, he tells you. I said, "What is it?" He said, "The doctrine of God." He said, "Everybody has a different God." And that's where the Bible starts, right? The Ten Commandments starts out with God. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven or earth. And thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Visiting in it, it starts with God. But I was a young preacher, and he was an old preacher. He's getting older. I don't know how long he'll be around. Amen. But, boy, wonderful, wonderful preacher. And that's what he told me. I said, "Well, I'll put her in." And I did. I went and changed it and reprinted the thing and put the doctrine of God in there, because everybody's God's different. Now, we've got some of these people, and they're the God of the gods that wants to prosper everybody. God never sends sickness. I've got some problem with that. I've read the Bible. And you know what God did to Jonah? He went away from God. God says, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching I bid thee." And he went to Tarshish, down to Tarshish, and he got on a boat. He was going away from Nineveh. And God had a fish, and God was the one that sent the fish, the whale. Whale, it's a whale fish, amen. Because the Bible says in Matthew, whale, and in the Old Testament, it says a great fish. So it's a whale fish. You say, "It can't be, it's a mammal." I said, "Whale fish, God's Bible says." No, I believe it. I don't care what you think it is. Half of these scientists don't know what they're talking about anyhow. Amen?
Amen.
And God sent the wind. Even those mariners with him, those sailors with him, knew this was not a normal storm. God sent the storm. But this fellow on the radio said, "God doesn't send storms." I have news for him. God does send storms. He sent one back then. If he wants to send one right through here, he sent this flood through here too. And God will do what he wants. God will just take old San Francisco and just wash it out into the sea if he wants to, in Los Angeles, Clifton, if he desires. Fault or no fault, God will do what he pleases. If he wants Mount St. Helens to erupt again, he'll do that. If he wants a great earthquake through here, something ought to quake after a while. All this shaking, we're shaking the ground with these bombs out here. Man, alive, all these... Man, I was thinking, they shake it enough, they better not get it too nervous down there, amen. We might just have a big one around here, amen. But if God wants to shake the earth, he'll just plumb do it.
Amen.
By the way, if he did it before, by the way, another one, what about Noah? I'll tell you who sent that destroying flood. God preserved Noah. God provided the ark through Noah's work, but God told him how to build it. It was all through the intellect. I'll tell you what, though, God sent that flood. It doesn't say the devil sent that flood. God sent that flood.
Right.
I know the devil's the destroyer. He's the deceiver, he's the destroyer, he hates us, he wants our body destroyed, he wants our soul in hell. He can't have mine, I'm saying. Amen. But I mean, the devil's against us. But don't you get the idea that God is not against anybody? The carnal mind is enmity against God. Whether it's a Christian mind or a sinner's mind. The carnal mind is enmity. It makes you an enemy of God. Flesh. Sin. Wickedness.
What I'm just saying is just like back in the old times, you can't sin and get by. We've got this idea we can sin and get by.
We've been saved just long enough, Brother Darrell. Heard grace enough, and love enough, and mercy enough. We think as Christians we can get sin and get by, but we're going to pay. We're going to pay in our body, in our mind. We're going to pay.
Pay there. I mean, our sins are paid for. We're under the blood. We're going to heaven. I mean, our condemnation is done away with. My damnation, I'll not have any. I'm going to heaven. We'll still give account to God for everything we've done. Everything we did. Every word. Give account for every idle word. There's a reckoning day coming. Does the song say, judgment is coming, all will be there? So I'm a Christian. I'm not going to be judged. You're reading the wrong Bible.
We will be judged. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Give account of things done in our body, whether good or bad.
We'll leave the bad out.
Amen? We'll give account to God. It's just that our condemnation, our damnation, our being condemned to hell is done away with. I'm in Christ. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved by His grace. And so we have this, God sent the fish. What about Job?
I was amazed. I just heard that preacher preaching all that foolishness. It's a well-known preacher. And then I heard a man come on. What's his name? Up there, New Birth Baptist Church in Dallas. And he was preaching on Job. I said, fellow, before you need to preach on Job. In fact, he needs to go ahead and read the book of Job about 100 times. And he'll quit preaching such foolishness. But God doesn't send storms. Listen, if we get this idea long enough that God doesn't send storms, and God, now listen, not all sicknesses are the devil. Some sickness, God, for this cause, some are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep because they took the Lord's Supper wrong. But not all sicknesses is sent by God. It's because you're doing wrong. The proof of that's Job. Job got sick because he was pure. The devil came along and said, have you considered, God said to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. Yeah, but if you touch him, you take the hedge out from around him, then he'll curse you to your face. He said, take the hedge out, but don't, and he didn't touch his body the first time. He'll curse you to his face, but Job didn't either, did he?
Right.
But you know why Job was sick? Because he was good. He had boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot from the top of his head. Because he was good. You just might get sick because you're good. You're being tested. Now see, there's always the norm, and then there's that which is against the norm. It doesn't change the norm.
Now, generally speaking, I believe the Lord wants us well. If we're serving the Lord, we're like we ought to be, and working for Him. But it may be God's will for you to be sick. Maybe God's will for you to be poor. Say, no, not me.
Might be God's will for you to just not know how you can make it from payday to payday. Because if you had too much money in your pocket, you wouldn't even go to church. You wouldn't think you need God.
You look at the kings, and when they prospered and everything went well, and they had everything okay, and the kingdom was settled. David sinned with Bathsheba when everything was settled. Check the record. Solomon had trouble when everything was settled. And he was the king, and he reigned over everything. Look at, I was reading last night, about Asa, and how he did okay, and then he was diseased of his feet.
See, because a prophet came up and said, you relied on God, and didn't He deliver you the last time? But now you relied on Syria, and they would have all been yours. You'd have won them all. You'd have defeated them all, but look what you've done. And boy, he got mad at the seer, and he said he was diseased of his feet, and he died with disease of his feet. He sought not the Lord. Now, when he was nothing and just getting started, he sought the Lord. He was okay. But when he got into prominence, watch out when you have it all. See, then, when you don't have anything, you just kind of have to trust God, don't you?
Right.
I mean, what could Job do? He lost his health. He lost his children. He lost the confidence of his wife. Only thing he didn't lose is his faith. Amen?
Yeah.
He couldn't lose God because God wouldn't lose him. Amen?
Yeah.
He just had God. I tell you, that'll be the test when you have nothing else. Amen. God, so you'll really never know. In a sense, we will. In a sense, but in another sense, we won't really know all the greatness and goodness of God until He's all we have.
everything else taken away. I tell you what, it was a much greater thing, by the way, with Job than it was with you and me, because he had all that wealth and then lost it. He had all those kids and lost them, and they got killed. If you never had it, you won't miss it. But if you had it, boy, then you lose it all. You will find out. You have servants all over the place, the confidence of everybody. They just hushed when Job walked by. He walked with God. And then they say, oh, Job, you're sick. I know why you're sick. You've been in sin. You've not taken care of the poor. He had taken care of the poor. You've been robbing from widows. That's what you're doing. They were all wrong. What about Naaman? What about Naaman, the leper? Remember how he came to Elisha? He had leprosy. He comes down there and he gets healed. But what happened? Gehazi, who'd seen all the miracles, what happened to him? He went out and got the gold, silver, wedges of silver, brought it all back. And Elisha said, the same leprosy that Naaman had is going to be on you, and it's going to be on your children too, your families. I'll tell you who did that. I want to know who did that to Naaman. I want to know who made him leprous. It's God. I want to know who made Miriam, when she and Aaron got in cahoots together against their elder brother, their big brother, Moses. I want to know. Or wait, Aaron was older, wasn't he? Aaron was a couple years old. It was Moses' younger brother. Hey, little brother, you don't know what you're doing. God called him, amen. And Aaron and Miriam got together. She was older, that's for sure. She watched over him when he was in the little bulrushes. She remembered Miriam. And they said, well, our little brother Moses, take it too much on him. They spake against Moses, and God, doesn't it imply God struck Miriam with leprosy? And then Moses prayed for her, and she was healed. But God never brings evil or trouble or problem on anybody. Well, I think we better read this book again. If we get away from God, we ought to pray that God... It says every son, God corrects us. I mean, what does He do to us? He chastises every son whom He receiveth. For if you be without chastisement, then are you illegitimate children, the Bible says. You're not saved. He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you don't get chastened and scourged, you're not a son. If you sin and get by, you're not a son. God, that's what the Bible said, doesn't it? Oh, man, our time is gone already. Man, ooh, the Tower of Babel. Don't you think God came down to the Tower of Babel and confused their tongues? Sure He did. Sure He did. And then God sends famine, and God sent the lion against the man in 1 Kings. You remember the man of God who didn't obey the word of God in 13? He listened to the old prophet. And he went out and a lion got him and killed him because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. God sent that lion. And it was a miracle that the lion and the ass were sitting there and the carcass of the man was not eat up by the lion. Right. And they came by and they said, we've never seen... God did that. God did that. Right. By the way, my time's gone. I got a minute or two here. There are New Testament ones too. Ananias and Sapphira, who were both struck dead in the New Testament. Well, God was only good to everybody. People have got the wrong God. They don't have the God of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Their thinking's wrong. My God can kill anybody right now if they don't listen to Him. He'd rather be merciful and save them, but they better listen. When we go preaching, they better listen. When I talk to them about hell. Went yesterday and I was talking to one fella who was with me. Boy, I talked to him about this and that. But when I talked about hell, he just sobered right up. Supposed to be here next Sunday morning. He just sobered right up. I think he believes there is a place like that. That's where he's headed. Oh no, God's just good. God's going to put everybody in heaven. That's what my old liberal Methodist church said. There's only one trouble. It's not the truth. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. Amen? There's a place called hell for people that won't trust Jesus. Isn't that right? What about Elymas the sorcerer? He withstood the deputy, and Paul said, you're going to be blind for a season. Shut your mouth! Because God's going to shut your eyes. That's New Testament, friends. Isn't that right? He couldn't see for a while. Well, I believe the Bible. What about Paul? Wasn't Paul smitten with blindness for a while? Right in Damascus Road for 3 days? And then what about all the storms that came up? You know what God said? Paul, you've heard other people. I'm going to show you what great things you're going to suffer for my name's sake. I want to know who brought that storm up. On Paul, when he went shipwrecked and he went on the island, it was God. And God preserved him, but it was God that sent that storm, too. He was stoned at Lystra. Paul was stoned at Lystra. Well, you're not supposed to have problems. You never get put in jail. Yeah, Paul got put in jail. He knew the jailer's name better than he did the constable in town or the mayor. Huh? Everything's supposed to be, if you're living for God, you won't have any problems. You will have problems. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You'll suffer. Woe be unto you when all men speak well of you. What about Peter? Peter was in prison. What about James? He was beheaded. And then what about John the Baptist? He lost his head because he was holy. Oh, you're always going to be well. John the Baptist wasn't too well when his head was being chopped off. It didn't feel too good all over his body. Amen. Oh, God says he's a holy man of God. None greater than John the Baptist ever born a woman. Better lose your head for Jesus than live for the devil and be a compromiser. Amen. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, A.D. 70. God sent all that destruction and razed the whole city of Jerusalem because it was 70 years after they nailed Jesus to Calvary's cross. Jews said, let his blood be on us and his children and children's children. And then famine. A famine was prophesied by Agabus. Remember that? That famine was prophesied in the New Testament by Agabus when he's talking about Paul going up to Jerusalem and all. I'm sorry. God will send blessings and God will send judgment. He'll do both. He'll do. And by the way, he said over there, if you'll do good, he said to Solomon. Remember Solomon was dedicating the temple? He said, if you do this and this and this and you don't worship idols, I will bless you and enrich you and do like I did to David, your father. But if you don't, be sure. Amen? Not in that same place. Not in that same place. But in another place, be sure your sin will find you out. I'll send pestilence. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And you need to look at the couple of verses before 2 Chronicles 7:14, that verse I just quoted. And it talks about famine. It talks about all kinds. If you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't, watch out. I'll let you know I'm up in this heaven. And I